It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
From the Labatt Blue Studio, it's time for quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com, the ultimate tailgating experience in Happy Valley. I'm Jim Galante, here with Andrew P. Shea and Bob Flounders. And this is the point where I always talk about GoPSURV. I'm going to hand those duties over to Andrew P. because you got a chance to stay there for the Idaho game weekend.
It was my maiden voyage at GoPSURV.com. First of all, thank you to Mark. We had a great weekend. My wife and I went up. It was her first ever college football game, and on Friday afternoon she was like, "You know, this is the first time I've ever done any like tailgating stuff." And I'm like, "You're in your 50s, sweetheart." And she's like, "I just never did it before."
So just real quick for the listeners, what's the scene like when you get the RV? Just real quick.
It's awesome. I don't think the location is a problem. I love the fact that it's got gravel all over the place. It's easy in, easy out. The RVs are fantastic. They're clean. They're all there. There was a bunch of people there. I love the fire pits. I love the fact that you can get food.
Shuttle
service.
You can
watch all the college football. The shuttle service makes it super easy for you. I mean, it is literally like being in the shadow of Beaver Stadium without being next to the stadium, in my opinion.
And the shuttle takes you over to the game when you want.
Yeah.
I know, Bob, you had some people, some friends.
They almost had too much of a good time, if that's possible. I didn't think it was possible for the group that I know. It was a nice-sized group, and I've been around them a lot. Usually it's impossible for them to have too much fun. They had too much fun this weekend. They had big smiles on their faces when I saw all of them on Sunday. But they weren't moving around very quickly. I think they enjoyed it. They got up early. They enjoyed the game. They stayed out late because they just wanted to kind of soak it all in. But yeah, the bill came due for them on Sunday. But they said they would do it again in a heartbeat.
Anything you need is available for you at that lot, and the RVs are absolutely splendid.
Wonderful. Well, if you're interested, give Mark a call at 800-519-8467 for the ultimate tailgating experience. All right, it's time to talk about our Idaho takeaways. And gentlemen, before we get started, I'm going to relay my conversations with our buddy, Mr. Tucker.
Okay, Ross. Ross.
I'm going to play Ross. I'll give you the three quick takeaways. Andy, you and I watched the game together.
We did.
When Devin Ford had the long run, I quickly texted Ross and said, "Guess what? The Devin Ford era begins." And his response, "Didn't I tell you?" So he is going to be taking credit for Devin Ford and everything he does. The two other things that we talked about, he really liked the formation where Matos goes inside with this all the speed rushers there in a passing situation. And the let's just say he wasn't quite as enthusiastic about the moves on the offensive line, taking Rashid Walker off left tackle, moving him to right tackle. That wasn't something he was crazy about. Andrew, I'll give you a first shot.
Well, I actually liked the offensive line because it was the game to do it, to sort of get a little against somebody else experience and move them around and see what you can put on film and get a picture of it. I didn't have a problem with it. My first takeaway is, first of all, Idaho was – they were bad. They were, and so the analysis is a little tough because they were actually that bad. Would you agree, Bob, that I had a hard time?
I think we all agree that they were bad.
They were bad. So I thought,
what are the things?
So my number one takeaway was, I love the secondary. The secondary, even though that team was limited offensively, the where they have guys picked up, where they have guys put in, and then Donovan Johnson didn't play, how they moved him around, how they shuffled him in and out, put him in different positions. It was like you needed your roster card to keep up with what was going on in the secondary. But I really, I liked a lot of what I saw. I thought Lamont Wade played really, really, really well. I think he's sitting on a really big
season.
They
got to use him the right way.
The right way.
Because you can tell he is a handful against the run.
A big handful.
He got involved right away, and had he played, he would have finished with about 12 tackles. You see him – I didn't realize – quite how fast he was. He ran that kid down.
Yes.
He came across the field. That kid got loose for the big play.
Yep.
In the second quarter, he just ran him down. The kid, I thought, had an angle on Lamont. Lamont knocked him out at midfield. Just real quick, to the point about the offensive line and moving them around, James talked about it. They want to make sure they have three or four tackles that can play this year. It was a problem last year. He finally said Will Fries was dealing with an injury last year. It forced their hand a little bit. They didn't have anyone behind them, behind him and Bates, that they could play. They want Dez Holmes to be the swing tackle. He's more comfortable on the left side. So Rasheed Walker played right tackle in high school. So they want to get Dez comfortable on the left or right side to be the third tackle, and they are committed to burning the red shirt of Caden Wallace, and they want him to be a fourth tackle that can come in the game, you know, in the final 6 weeks of the season, and there not be any drop off. So this is the time to do it if you're going to do it, and they that was a point of emphasis though, to get Dez Holmes comfortable at left tackle.
We did, to name drop a little bit, we had Caden's mom and dad stop by our tailgate. Uh-huh.
Are they as big as Caden?
Dad's pretty
that's a big human
pretty
being.
Healthy guy. Mom was a very nice lady. I chatted with her a bit, asked her how nervous she would be.
Yeah.
And she was just beside herself excited, which of course is understandable.
Can I ask you something? Do you see a bigger role in this linebacker group for Jesse Luketa than we might have thought?
I do not. I think when Cam Brown comes back, those two on the outside. I think Jesse Luketa is an inside linebacker, and I'll tell you who's banging on the door is Brandon Smith.
Yes, he is.
Smith is going to kick that door in a couple of weeks. That was a grown man hit. You can say what you want about Idaho; they definitely were overmatched, but I think he's going to do that to some people on some good teams too. And they have themselves quite a player on their hands in Brandon Smith.
What stuck out to me, he was one of the names that I wrote down with the true freshman. Keaton Ellis was in there real early. Obviously, Kane and Ford were in there early.
Yep.
Lance Dixon was in early.
Yeah, they played. So they're going to, I mean, they put Lance Dixon on the kickoff team.
Correct.
So he's.
And Brandon Smith.
So they're definitely going to, there's not going to be any redshirting when you open the season against Idaho with those two guys on the kickoff team.
Yeah, they're not going to redshirt. You know, the other guy that stood out to me, and he only had three catches, but I watched Justin Shorter run a lot of routes and get separation and go about his business. And I thought, I liked a lot of what I saw from him, and not just the fact that he made three catches.
Yeah, especially after the catch, he is going to be a problem. I thought of all the runners, I was almost said this in the first set, I thought Journey Brown looked the best, believe it or not. It looks like to me he's playing to his high school track speed. Obviously, everyone knows he's fast, but he looked fast on the field. He ran with authority. I just think that he has really come a long way since he looks a lot bigger. Obviously, Devin Ford, Ross Tucker's favorite player, did well. I thought Noah Kane did some nice things pushing the pile as well.
What I thought was interesting is I don't think any of the running backs separated themselves in either, you know, more the bad way. Nobody stood out as, well, he's the fourth one.
Right.
That's a good thing.
They also threw to the running backs, which is – I threw more to the running backs.
That was going to be my point.
They threw more to the running backs in this game than they did for half of a season last year.
Yeah, I was watching them run their routes, and they were both going out in the flat coming out of the shotgun set or the RPO set, and they were wiggling through the line at times as a check down. I also thought they – generally speaking, all four of them, they did their pass blocking duties pretty well, particularly Journey Brown. I saw him a couple times. I thought he did fine on the pass blocking responsibilities that he had. So I didn't see any difference in the four running backs.
And once Sean Clifford settled down after two series, I thought he was pretty accurate throwing the football. He had that nice throw to KJ on the run for a touchdown where a guy clipped his heels and he dropped it right in the bucket.
And that was the point earlier we were talking about Tommy Stevens, and I believe, Bob, you brought up the point about being able to look downfield. If you recall with Trace McSorley, that was one of the great things that he did.
Yeah.
He's scrambling, he's moving, keeps his head up and finds someone wide open, and we saw a little bit of that from Sean. You are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. This segment's brought to you by GoPSURV.com. For the ultimate RV experience in Happy Valley, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8000. 8467. With all of the things we saw, I might have been happiest about the kickoffs.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah, he kept counting them. And the field goal. That's two of two. That's three of three. And I'm like, oh my god.
I think he hit Joe Hermit in the head twice, and he was,
Joe Hermit tried to catch one.
Joe Hermit's the Penn Live Penn State photographer. I think he hit him at least twice, and I think he was deliberately aiming for him. But that meant he kicked the ball about 75 yards.
How about the 53-yard field goal? I thought maybe we'd see on the depth chart this week, long kicker.
He definitely is the guy. I think outside of 40, 42 yards,
yeah,
he's going to be the first option until, you know, he shows he can't do it, or Jake Pinniger shows he can be successful from 40-plus, because he wasn't very good last year from that distance.
Well, this guy has already showed he can do it, so I'm not sure it matters what Pinniger does.
Let's watch the next Virginia Tech game and see who they have kicking field goals and kicking off. Like, how good must that guy be?
And they didn't offer him a scholarship.
They had him last year as a walk-on.
Yeah.
And now, if... Tell me that's not worth a scholarship, being able to do what this guy does.
Yeah. Is Greg Zuerlein kicking off for Virginia Tech? Did he leave the Rams? I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Dude, Penn State couldn't throw their scholarship at him fast enough.
Talk about a transformative addition.
Yeah.
I mean, the upgrade for the special teams kickoff coverage team, and the defense is never going to be on a short field.
Yep. And
after a kickoff.
Yeah. And, you know, did you see the kickoff guys? It was a couple of the freshmen.
Jacena was on there.
You saw Sutherland was out there. I mean, you saw guys that are, you know, getting semi-regular minutes.
They want to hit somebody, and it just isn't going to happen.
A couple of them needed IVs after the game because they ran about a mile sprinting because Penn State had 13 kickoffs.
And I love that they make them run all the way to the goal line, but. You know, you got to reach a point where, coach, why am I?
After the 10th kickoff, maybe just dial it back. Dial it back there, Joe Lorig.
All right. One more thing we touched on a little bit. Matos moving the tackle, some speed ends in there.
They've done it before. But, yeah, this year it's definitely fun. Yeah, talk about picking up where he left off.
Yeah, right.
I know Idaho's not great, but he is not going to be – easy to handle and even double team this year by anyone.
When you have a player like that who picks right up where they left off, that can go inside or outside and do damage.
He still looks like he's going to be 20 pounds
snootful
too.
Yeah, he's going to be a snootful.
Very, very comfortable at that weight.
Scary. It's going to be scary for other teams when it's passing down. All right. Next quarter, we are going to ask Bob and ask Andy. Stick with us.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.